Thank you so much for agreeing to this conversation. Tell me a little bit about yourself. First, where are you? Are you in northern Kenya or at the moment or someplace else?
Yes, thank you. I'm Simon Golo, and I'm from Kenya. I live in the part of northern Kenya. I'm a teacher by profession. That is my career. I completed my university education in year 2018, and I major in my studies. History and religious study. That is what I major on, whereby we touch a bit of theology of faith when we are in university. That is the area of my profession.
And are you a pastor?
I'm not a pastor, I'm a professional teacher.
A teacher.
And
Oh, good.
yes, I'm a teacher.
And what is your field, Simon? What do you teach?
A teacher of religion and history. I'm a historian and a religious teacher.
I see. And is it is at the university, or do you teach at the university, or at a local school, or where do you teach?
Yes, actually, I was a teacher at the local school before, but recently I got a contract with a teacher circle. An organization that is working just like a bank. Currently, I'm working with a teacher circle in a bank.
I see. I see. And tell me about well, we have many things to talk about, and I'm sure you have questions, but let me ask you, tell me what a day in the life of Simon is like.
Yes.
A typical day.
Okay. Actually, I live in northern Kenya, and that area was characterized as an arid area,
Yes.
whereby we most of the time receive a little rainfall. And in terms of ozone development, the area was quite marginalized in development. And my father was also a peasant farmer. He was a herder and a pastoralist, and looking at some of the challenges that my community has, especially in times of drought and changing weather pattern, has actually been a big challenge because the climate change has brought a number of issues. Like, for example, in time when there is a drought, then the animal die. That is the sole economy that you are relying on, and that which, when that one is taken. And actually, the people has no hope or what to rely on in terms of their livelihood. So after I completed university, I start thinking of maybe how I can help my community and what best I can do. And I did some research here and there, and also participating in the local group whereby we organize about the environmental conservation aspect, like a tree planting with many youth group organization. And as I was doing some simple research, I just came across a program offered by the PLT, Pacific Lutheran
Right,
and Theological Seminary.
right.
That one is a certificate in climate justice and faith. And I applied for that program, and I was selected one of the participants from Kenya. And
Good.
I participated in that program, and actually that one gave me a roadmap on what I can do in this line of the advocacy to help my community.
Yes, well, you in your In your paper, you talk about your church and youth group and working with them. Is it tell me about your church community that you're working with.
I'm a member of the Pentecostal Evangelical of the African, that is PEVA. And mostly our statement of faith is concerning with the evangelism and also the theology of salvation. That is what we normally major on. And I'm a church leader and also a youth leader in church, and been working with the church for the last 5 years, right from
My.
when I was in the in high school. And on the aspect of the climate aspect, the climate justice aspect, from the time that I started my project, actually after we finished the program that we are doing, Certificate in Climate Justice and Faith, I started a sacred action project. That one is a pastoral climate adaptation, and that one now I'm doing it in collaboration with my church, whereby sometime we organize for the tree planting initiative in the church compound together with the church youth, and also sometime the elders also participate to some extent. So that is how I'm working with my church community as at now.
Now you mentioned in your paper that you're working with your church and planting trees, and over on this side of the ocean, we're very familiar with Wangari Maathai. How do you pronounce her name? Wangari Maathai, the woman who from Kenya who planted all the trees all over Kenya. And is that a usual church ministry, or is that something that you have worked on yourself, tree planting?
That one was not the usual church ministry that was being done as a part of the church ministry, but it's just the initiative of my project that I've started
Oh, I
and
see.
share with us. Yes. Yeah,
And
that's the initiative of my project that I started.
Tell me how you are able to make connections between what you learn in school in terms of, let's say, Bible teaching or theology, and communicating that to the ministry of, say, working with your youth or the women who are planting trees that you talked about. How do you make those connections? Do you just show up, or do you have meetings? How does it work?
Yes, actually, we have a meeting with the youths, and I am a young man, and also one of the objective of my project is actually to mobilize the youths towards the environmental conservation aspect. And at the beginning, actually, I major on the youths as the biggest partner in this project initiative. I've been working with the youths and also in the youth leadership. And what we normally do, we meet for quite some time. Then I share with them the aspect or what I've learned from the certificate program. And then to put the theory into practice, we normally embark on the tree planting initiative at the end. Actually, when we look at how human life is centered, and it's normally rooted in the circle of the world. It's rooted in the circle and the system of the world and the planet. And as a human being, God has given us a number of gifts of the nature to use, and we have to use it wisely and to use it carefully, and also conserving what we have.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear if your work when you work with the youth and with your community, what passages from scripture, what part of scripture do you draw on to help teach your people about what the Lord wants you and them to do? What are your main scripture interests in your ministry?
Okay, that's great. And actually, I love even the scriptures, and to some extent, I'm also a teacher of the word. And one key things that actually bring life to this advocacy journey in line with faith is that when we look at the history of the creation, the biblical history of creation, we can attest that Bible tell us that we are created to live in communion with the nature. That is the reality of the things. We are created to live in communion with the nature. But from the Christian perspective, how we relate with the nature is not much defined by the church. The relationship is interpersonal relationship, how we handle our friend and how we interact with our friend. But this has to go beyond that border to some extent, that our relationship should not be only interpersonal, but it should be a communal relationship in such a way that we take care of what is around us and also taking care of God, a creation. And also another scripture that actually brings sense to this advocacy or the environmental conservation is the bit about the neighbor love, the concept of the neighbor love that we learn
Yes.
in the certificate program. And Jesus talk about the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, whereby he mentioned about the concept of neighbor. But in real sense, we bring also this concept of neighbor in such a way that neighbor is only another friend, maybe who need our assistance or our help. But when we expound this, the concept of the neighbor, it's go actually beyond the human. And our neighbor is everything that is situated within our environment, be it living thing or non-living thing. All the things that are in the planet and that is surrounding us is our neighbor, and we are being mandated by God to take care of it. So those are some of the scriptures that
I
as I
say
share with
eight. I say
you.
amen to that. That
Yes.
sounds very good. I'm very interested to hear also about local traditions in your country and how local traditions of caring for the earth, perhaps love of trees, how that relates to your faith ministry. Do you find yourself helped by the traditions that the people bring with them, or is that a challenge?
The tradition of my community, we are in the African setup, although to some extent the modernization and the modern civilization has maybe brought some changes, maybe looking at some of the Africans or those who are living in the urban setup. But African, we believe in the communal living, in the communal setup, whereby we own everything together. And there is a phrase that is commonly used, Ubuntu. I live because you are. And in that aspect, there's no definition of me, but we. There's no definition of we, but we. That means it shows the aspect of the communal living by the community. That is how the tradition of the African, the community that I live is. And when I that means that if there's no luck and the other person has, there's that aspect of the mutual sharing or sharing with your friend. And also when I look at some of the tradition like naming, you know, the name of the people as name after the season, and also after the season, after the trees. So there's some link between even the tradition of the community and also the nature. So there's that link between tradition and the nature. So there's that harmony.
I find that very satisfying and very helpful. I must tell you that you and your community are way ahead a lot of people in North America. Word Ubuntu is not one that we speak easily. We're more oriented on the individual and what I can get and what I can do and how I can realize myself. And
Yes.
I think we can be very much helped by being in communion with people, churches like yours, because we have a lot to learn. And actually, that one of the things that I've been writing about over the years is a critique of individualism, that we need a much more communal view of our humanity and also of our relationship, as you said, to our brothers and sisters, the earth, the trees, and so on. And so I encourage you to not only keep doing your own ministry there, but maybe find some way to begin to communicate in a broader sense. Do you do any writing?
Not much, but just a little. I read a lot, but writing just very little.
Very, very little. Do you have
Yeah.
conversation partners that can talk about these things with you in the church, or do you find yourself pretty much alone?
I have partners and some good network of friend, but the only issues that has been a challenge is maybe many believers on this part of the side of the African, they are not very much conversant with the eco-theology concept. The concept that we're focusing on is the one of the faith perspective. And the gospel that we preach is the gospel of salvation and of the repentance of sin. So, to some extent, getting a person of a good resource, maybe to get a knowledge of this eco-theology, is a bit of a challenge. But I have a network of friends whom we can be together, pray together, and seek advice. And I have a mentor, and those are spiritual father.
Well, that's wonderful, and I praise God for that and for you and for your ministry. Now, is there any questions that you might want to ask me? Now, I'm in a totally different culture, a totally different experience, and I recognize that many of the things you just said about your ministry and how you view the world are things that I have been trying to teach here because of our radical individualism in this country and the me first. What sort of questions might you want to ask a theologian from another world?
Okay, thank you. Just some a few questions, maybe how you can assist me. And as a young man, my key point to focus on is also mobilizing youth. I know the youth respond, they were energetic. And what is actually in my mind is our generation should know the nature. And our young people should be also nurtured holistically in terms of also bringing them up, not only teaching them one side of theology, but also the eco-theology is also important for them to actually know. And when we capture and nurture this youth holistically, then they are the leaders of today, and they can also be the leaders of tomorrow, and also help the church in making to conserve the environment. And my question is, as a young man, how can I actually manage to mobilize this youth? That is a one, and maybe push them towards this eco justice or eco theology, and teaching them this aspect of the eco theology. And another one is, as a young man, I'm focusing on the eco-theology and also environmental advocacy. And when I look at the church has actually retreated in this area. And we are only focusing on the gospel of the repentance and the gospel of salvation. That is what is preached in our church. And also, when I look at the side of the resource, the manpower, and also the finance I directed to the mission, only that. So how can I maybe involve church and share with them in depth this about my project and also the ecotheology aspect.
That's the question of our time, is it not? How we understand and live our lives in community, and not just in community with our own kind, but with all people with different backgrounds, and also with the earth. Our community is much larger. I would suggest that the Genesis creation narratives, that is Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, can be helpful if they're interpreted correctly. So Genesis 1, you have this notion of humankind being given dominion over the earth. And that has to be interpreted in a kind of a sacramental way. That is, we are called to work with the creatures of nature, not to exploit them. Yes, we're called to be farmers and pastoralists and builders of cities and things like this, but it's really important to grasp that scripture of Genesis 1, where the human is almost a kind of a priestly figure and presides over the creation rather than exploits it. And then Genesis 2, of course, is the garden story. Are you able to teach much about the garden story or to your people, or what other scriptures do you focus on to when you're working with your people?
The Genesis, the given us mandate, those are some of the basis, and also the concept of the Never Lab is another basis that I normally use in teaching my people.
Okay, I think we're coming toward the end of our conversation time together. I just want to thank you very much for participating in this project of mine. It's a listening project. I've been working on this for on eco theology for 50 or 60 years, and these my later years, I'm returning to the grassroots to talk to people who are actually at the front lines of this challenge that we're facing globally. And I realize that places like Kenya are really at the forefront of this challenge, because you have to work wisely with prayer and fasting, but also have a vision of the whole community, which is the earth as well as people. So I thank you very much for this conversation, Simon. And I wish you, do you know the expression Godspeed? It's an old English expression saying, you go for it, man. You continue what you're doing. I'm very impressed with your ministry, and I will pray for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I'm really happy and I'm really grateful to have this moment of sharing and talking with you. And yeah, I'm grateful. And actually, I was reading your book, Brother Art, where it
Really?
said that yes, nature is not only for the human use. Nature is our sibling. So I really love that expression.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'll say goodbye now.
Bye. God bless you.
Goodbye. God bless.
Amen. Amen.